So welcome back now to our next installment of our journey through Hilchos Tefillah. So generally speaking, I try to focus on something lumdish, achronish, achakira, about the nature of Tefillah, about the nature of a certain halakha. Today, I decided for various reasons to try to go back to the beginning, focus more on Chazal themselves, and try to figure out what did Shmona Esrei look like, what did daily Tefillah look like in the time period of Yavne, the time period of the first generation after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and hopefully by focusing more on straight on Chazal and seeing what the Mishnayos and Gemaras say about it, we'll be able to put together a little bit of a picture in terms of what Tefillah was and what Tefillah meant, and what were the various factors that went into the decisions about the Tekana of Tefillah as we know it. So, and feel free to chime in as we go along. So one of the starting points is a Mishnah in Brachos, the Perek Dalet. Starts as follows. Rabbi Gamliel says you daven 18 brachos every day. That should be recognizable. That's what we do. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'in Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yeshua says something that is similar to Shmona Esrei, a shortened Shmona Esrei. The Gemara is in Machlokes. Do you say the middle brachos just the beginning and the end, or all the middle brachos become one big bracha, which is known as Havineinu? Rabbi Kiva Omer, if Shigura Tfilaso Befeh, Vispal Shmona Esrei, if the words of Tfila flow in your mouth, you don't have kotzer lashon in the language of the Rambam, so then you can daven a full Shmona Esrei. Vim lav, but if you have a hard time saying the words, you're not familiar with the words, me'in yilches, then you daven a shortened Shmona Esrei. So here you have a three-way machlokas, it sounds like at least, three-way machlokas, what do you have to say every day? Do you say full 18 brachos? Do you say me'in Shmona Esrei? Or does it depend on how shagur it is befiv? Then, at least in the breakdown of the Mishnayos, so the next Mishnah has the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer on there, if your tefillah is kava, it is not tachanunim. So, how do you understand Rabbi Eliezer? Is it a new statement about? Is it a fourth opinion from the previous Mishnah about how much you have to say? That kava is about the quantity of what you're saying, or maybe kava is about the quality, about how you're davening. It's not a fourth opinion coming from the previous Mishnah. It is just a separate issue entirely. So what did you guys see if you saw Talmud Bavli, source number 2? How do the opinions in Talmud Bavli, the Amorayim, interpret Rabbi Eliezer? So let's see. Rabbi Eliezer on there. Hosa tefillah so keva, my keva, what does it mean keva? I'm Rabbi Yaakov or Idi, I'm Rabbi Yoshaya. Kol she tefillah so dome alav kamasui. Keva means that you feel like you're obligated to daven. You're only davening because of an obligation, not davening because you actually feel like you want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So according to that opinion, Rabbi Lazar is not really arguing on the previous Mishnah. He's talking about a different topic entirely. The first Mishnah, the first two lines on the sheet are about the quantity, how much Shmona Esrei do you have to say. The next line is about how you say it, your mindset, about how you say it. Next opinion in Talmud Bavli, Rabbanan Amri, Kol mi she'inu omra b'lashon tachanunim. It's not about your mindset, it's about the way you say the words, the rhetoric involved. If we look at the Rambam, source number 3, he says, the underlying part, how does Rabbi interpret tachanunim? Davening slowly, like they do here. How long does chakras take today? Hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. That you're mekayim this din of the Rambam, that your tefillah should be tachanunim. Tachanunim means davening benachas, davening slowly. So let me show him talk about in a certain emotional cadence of your voice. You have to be davening as if you're beseeching, as if you're asking for a request, and not just davening kikorei b'igeres, as if you're reading a letter. So, according to the first two opinions in Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Eliezer, kevan tachanunim, not about the quantity of how much you're davening, it's about your mindset, or about the way you're saying the words. Then you have Rabban Rav Yosef. Rabban Rav Yosef, Dami Tarvayu, kol she'inu yachol l'chadish badavar. That, what does it mean if your tefillah is keva, it is not tachanunim? It's obviously a bad thing. Maybe you're not even Yotzi davening according to some Rishonim. Your tefillah is keva. It means that you didn't innovate, didn't say something new in your tefillah every day. So according to that, what is Rabbi Eliezer saying? It sounds like, how many brachos are you saying? 18. But what do you have to make sure to do within those 18 brachos? Say something new. Why do you have to say something new every day? Every tefillah you have to say something new? So otherwise, it's keva. So spell it out. What's wrong with being keva?
Saying like
it's new is more like the benachas tachanunim. But the Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say you have to be mechadish badabar. The Rambam sounds like at least that means you have to say something new every single day. Your tefillah has to change from Shacharis to Mincha, from Sunday to Monday. You have to innovate in your tefillah, and there's a place for that. You have to be able to, in each bracha, me'in the bracha, and Shema Kaleinu, you can ask whatever you want. You have to change something about your tefillah. Otherwise, it becomes by rote. Otherwise, it becomes keva. It's not tachanunim. It's not something which is coming from the heart. You're just repeating a text.
But changing for the sake of change could also be.
Change for the sake of changing could also be, exactly. But Rabbi Lazar sounds like he's saying he's more worried about the opposite. That if you grow up davening the same Shemona Esrei three times a day for years, you're going to end up not having Kavanah. So according to the Talmud Bavli, at least. Sorry?
That's cool.
Yeah. You can imagine such a thing. So according to the Talmud Bavli, according to Rabbi Ben Yosef, it sounds like you're davening a full Shemona Esrei, regular Shemona Esrei as we have it, but you're adding in something every day. Look in the Talmud Yerushalmi for a second. Talmud Yerushalmi says, look at the quotes of the Mishnah, source number 4, the third line down, Gemara. Rabbi Yavahu b'shem Rabbi Lazar, v'vav shlo yeh kekorei b'igeres. So the first opinion about what is keva, what is wrong about keva, is if you're reading a letter, I mean, you're just reading it by rote, you're not putting any emotion into the reading. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Yosi, sarach l'chadish b'davar b'chol yom. That's what we had in the Bible so far. Then we start having more radical opinions in Yerushalmi. Akitofel, hayam espavlo shalosh tfilos kadashos b'chol yom. What would Akitofel do? He would literally daven a new tefillah every single tefillah. Shalakas men kamariv. Look, skip down to the underlying part. Rabbi Eliezer, again, this is Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, hayam espavlo tefillah kadasha b'chol yom. What does that sound like? Tefillah kadasha b'chol yom? It's free-for-all. Again, we don't know exactly what this means. We don't know, did he have a structure of Shemona Esrei? Did he have Avos and Kvaros Kashamim and then Kehel HaKadosh and then the Bakashos? We don't really know. But it sounds like it's more radical than the Bavli. It's not just he would have the Shemona Esrei and add something new every day based on his changing life circumstances. He would actually dive in a new tefillah every single day. That's pretty wild. If that's the case, then There is a major machlokas tanaim over here. I mean, Rabbi Gamliel says every day, every tefillah, daven 18 brachos, the full Shemona Esrei as we have it. Rabbi Yeshua says me'in Shemona Esrei. We'll see how much he's arguing. There are circumstances, or maybe lechachila, you let a daven havininu. And Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says no. Osa tefillah so keva, ain't tefillah so tachanunim. Again, according to the Bavli, he's not really arguing on Rabbi Gamliel. He's talking about the way you daven. But according to the Yerushalmi, he is actually fundamentally arguing. He is against the institution, it sounds like, of Shemona Esrei. He wants you to daven a new tefillah every single day. And the Achronim and the Chokrim both point out that there seems to be evidence that this was actually the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. That in Rabbi Eliezer's base medrash, there was no consistent davening for Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv. They didn't have a set text of Shemona Esrei. But whatever text they had was very, very malleable. What was Chazar? Good, that's a great question. Maybe Chazar HaShas didn't even exist yet. Sure. Who talks about Chazar HaShas? Rabbi Gamliel, who was the first Tana on the first Mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Lazar argues. I'm saying whenever you're dealing with Tanayim, you're always lacking a little bit of evidence. We only know, amazing, we only know what we have. But look at this fascinating, fascinating Medrash, source number 5, which appears in Talmud Bavli, and the names might be extremely important. Vayitzak Hashem El Hashem Vayoreo Etz. Right, this is in Mara. That the water was bitter, and Moshe threw the stick into the bitter water. He cried out to Hashem, and the water became sweet. That Moshe got in short, and he still was answered. There was one Talmud who was davening for the Amid in front of Rabbi Eliezer, or maybe just davening in front of Rabbi Eliezer. The Kitzar b'Brachosav, and he shortened his brachos. Amr lo tamidav, Rebbe, Reisa Poloni Shekitzer b'Brachosav, v'yamaligen alav. The other tamidim in his federish made fun of the guy. Rebbe, did you see he davened such a short davening? He chas v'shalom finishes the Rosh Chodesh davening within an hour. How could he do such a thing? V'omrim alav, tamachacham katzaran katzaran uzeh. And people are going to say this tamachacham is a katzaran. He doesn't daven a long davening. What was Rabbi Eliezer's response? Amr lehem. Lo kitzer zeh yosar b'Moshe, shenemar kel na refa nava. Moshe also davened a very short davening for Miriam, 6 words. Kel na, 5 words. Kel na refa nava. Shuv Maisecha b'Talmid Achav Talmid Echad Sharfach Nei Rabbi Lezer. There's another Talmud, a different day, who was davening in front of Rabbi Lezer. He would lengthen his brachos. Amar lo Talmidav, Rabbi, Reisa Zeh Sharek Rebrakosav, Yo'omrin Alav Tamachaka Marachon, who's that? Though people are going to make fun of him, that he's going to say he davened such a long Shemon Esrei, or such a long davening. Amar lehem, lo Herik Zeh Yosef Rimoshe, Shemar V'snapel Lefnei Hashem, Esarbayim Hayom. I davened for 40 days. So you have to take this is a very beautiful medrash. Of course, and it appears in part of it appears in Talmud Bavli and Daf Lamed Daled as Brachos of Lamed Daled. It shows you Rabbi Eliezer was very basically wanted to keep the peace in the Bismedrash, wanted to keep the Akhtos. The Talmidim didn't appreciate different forms, different textures of davening. They were making fun of their fellow Talmidim. They were davening long or short. And Rabbi Eliezer was like, whatever you do, but let me ask a halakha question. What does it mean to be marik or makatzer in your brachos?
Suggest that it was just a real free form.
Right.
Whatever Shemona Esrei you wanted to do today.
That's good, yeah. If you didn't, I think based on our understanding of Chazal and what we do, we immediately think, what does it mean to be Ma'akan Makasar? It means you either have a long or short, so you have a lot of Kanadam, you sing a lot, don't sing a lot. But what is, but I think what Chaim is saying, without any preconceived notions, is the default reading. Ma'akan Makasar means he either lengthened or shortened the actual nusach of the tefillah. So what's going on? Is it free-for-all? How could that be? Don't we have a text of Shemona Esrei that was given to us in Yavne from Anshei Knesset, from Sidram in Yavne, was written by the Anshei Knesset Zagadola? Elamai, what do you see? Who is the Tana? Whose base medrash are they in? Rabbi Eliezer. What does the Talmud Yerushalmi tell us about Rabbi Eliezer? What would he himself do? He would daven a tefillah chadasha b'chol yom. So it makes sense. He was having a tefillah chadasha b'chol yom. Maybe he had some general structure of shevach b'kasha hoda. Maybe yes, maybe not. We don't know. But at the very least, it sounds like his tefillah was malleable. He davened based on what he needed, based on what he felt. It wasn't a set of a formalized text as we have. And if it makes sense, in his base medrash, they're also doing it. If you're gonna open up the floor for anybody who wants to come and be chazan and daven a longer short Shemona Esrei, you're gonna get a guy who's very short, and you're gonna get a guy who's gonna daven forever. And these Talmidim were complaining. And Rabbi Lazar's like, whatever you do, it's okay, because you're like Moshe Rabbeinu. But you see, in Rabbi Lazar's base medrash, at least according to this read of it, there actually was a certain sense of free-for-allness or malleability in terms of the text of what they were saying in Shemona Esrei. Yeah.
So the rest of the text definitely is Machal. The rest of the number of brachos.
Ah, good.
It says, you katzer b'birchot. That's the same marbe
good.
or the mite.
100%. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe not. That's why dealing with Tanaitic sources in particular, Mishnah and Midrashim, they give you a lot, but they often leave a lot open because we just don't have the full blood. We don't have things as fleshed out as we do in the Gemara and the Rishonim. So our first marker of how much Shemona Esrei was being said. So we have Rabbi Gamliel says 18 brachos every day. Rabbi Yeshua says me'ein yuchas, and Rabbi Lazar sounds like according to Talmud Yerushalmi that it was more of a free for all. Fantastic. What I want to do now is leave the world of Lamdos a little bit and try to figure out, in the Bismedrash of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, they were all in Yavne. Yavne was set up as the main Bismedrash of Jewish people, the generation of and following the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. What does this machlokas mean in that context? The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. The Jewish people were just reconquered by the Romans. The rebellion against them was unsuccessful. Many Jews are in exile. The Jewish people are in tatters. The remnant of the Chachamim gather in Yavne, which is in the middle of nowhere. I don't want to still come Yavne, but relative to Yerushalayim, it's a small town in the middle of nowhere. And they are sitting there trying to figure out how do we rebuild the Jewish people. What does Rabbi Gamliel do? What does Rabbi Gamliel do? They have a set text. What were they doing during Bayit Sheni? Was there a set text or was not a set text? So if you look in the Rambam, source number 6, he thinks there was a set text. We don't have to read everything inside. He thinks that the Anshei Knesset Gedola set up a set text for everybody to read. And that was going on from all the way through Bayit Sheni. If that's the case, then we don't really have so much to talk about. But there are a lot of Makoros that say no. And in Bayit Sheni, when the Beis Hamikdash was up, they didn't have such a set text of Shemona Esrei. How do we know this? From a whole variety of sources. Look in source number 9, the Mishnah in Tamid. Mishnah Tamid describes what was the Avodah Beis Hamikdash like when they brought the Karban Tamid. Amraham HaMemuna, this is before they're actually makar the Karban Tamid, the person in charge would say to the Kohanim, Baruch Hu Bracha Akas, say one Bracha. Fein Baruch Hu, and the Kohanim would say that Bracha. Instead, the Gemara says, the Gemara in Bracha says, that was Avaraba. They couldn't say Yotzer Oryat because it was too early in the morning. They would say Avaraba, that was their Berakas HaTorah. Karo Asaras HaDivarim, they would say the Asaras HaDivarim, Shema Vayam Shemoa Vayomer, and they would say Kriyat Shema. Beruchu Asa'am Shalosh Brachos. The Rashi says Beruchu Asa'am means Imam. They would say, the Kohanim would say together with the Am, three Brachos. Which three Brachos? Emes V'yatsev, the last of Brachos Kriyat Shema, Avoda. What is the Bracha of Avoda? Ritzei, some version of Ritzei, Ubirkas Kohanim, and Birkas Kohanim. And Shabbos, they would add on another bracha for the Kohanim that were leaving. This is the only mention of tefillah that we have in the Mishnayos and Tamid describing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. So what brachos would they say, would the Kohanim say in the Beis HaMikdash? They would say parts of Birkas Kriyat Shema, Emes V'yatziv, Ritzei, Birkas Kohanim, and then they would Shabbos, and they would say one bracha for the Kohanim that were leaving. So what do all the mafarshim? What are all the mafarshim bothered by? What happened to davening? Like what about Shimon Esrei? So there's some mafarshim who say, if you look at the Rosh and his parashim Sakas David, everybody the rest of the Jewish people were all davening a full Shimon Esrei. The Kohanim were very busy. They had to do the avodah of the Beis Hamikdash. They didn't have time, so they davened the shortened tefillah. But if you look in source number 10, you turn the page to the next slide. What does the Rebbe Yaakov, or the Rebbe the Ramban, what does he say? What does the Reb and Yakar infer from this Mishnah? What did they not daven during Bayit Sheni? The Imsayos. Why would they not daven the Bakashos during Bayit Sheni? But they had the Karbanos. So you have the real Makol. You don't need the replacements. But he says they would still say Berakas Avos, even though it's not mentioned in the Mishnah, they would still say Berakas Avos in order to have Zchus Avos and Karbanos. So that's pretty radical. That's saying during Bayit Sheni, there was actually no text of Shimon Esrei. They would say Berakas Kriyat Shema, they would say Ritzei. What is Ritzei about in its original form? It's about Hashem accepting the Karban. They would say Berakas Avos, so the Zchus Avos should be on the Karban. But they actually did not say, did not have to say a Shimon Esrei. Maybe Shimon Esrei existed. Maybe the brachos were instituted by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, but it wasn't considered obligatory. It wasn't an obligatory tefillah for all Jewish people to say every day. These were brachos that they created, which you could say if you want to, but it wasn't a real chiyuv. If they think the Rebbe Yaakov is too radical, Rabbi Noyona, who appears in the back of the Gemara, says, if you look in source number 11, his dir yuchas brachos al seder b'yavne, Rabbi Gamliel in Yavne, he organized the 18 brachos. What does he say? Shemitzchila, earlier, during Bayit Sheni, lo hayu mispalin osa ala seder, and lo kol echad v'echad habrakha shayis etzrikhlo. What would he do during Bayit Sheni? You would daven for what you needed. If you needed health, you would say some version of Refa'inu. If you needed parnasa, you would say some version of Refa'inu. But there was no notion of everybody coming to shul and everybody saying the same 18 brachos together. Davening was much more amorphous. It was much more malleable. It makes sense. The main avoda is the karbanos. That's the centrifugal force. That's the center of avodas Hashem. Tefillah existed, definitely existed. Anshei Knesset Gedolah were talking certain brachos. How are they obligatory? How many do you have to say? In what order do you have to say them? All of this, at least according to these rishonim, was up in the air.
It's very confusing how we developed today. If you think about like last week's shiur.
Good. So according to this version, according to the Rambam, all of that is from Anshei Knesset Gedolah. According to the Rebbe Yaakov, according to Rabbi Yona, according to most academics, who we don't have evidence of a daily obligatory Shemon Esrei in our textual history from during Bayit Sheni. What happened during Bayit Sheni? It was more amorphous. How amorphous was it? Yish lo dun. Rebbe Yaakov, Rabbi Yona, other people, but it was more amorphous. According to that, this version of history, who was the figure? In what generation did they feel the need to formalize and concretize and organize Shemot Esrei and say every single Jewish person has to say this three times a day? Rabbi Gamliel. That Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says 18 brachos every day, that is a chiddush nora, that is a new innovation. The concept of tefillah always existed. Tefillah is derisa according to the Rambam. But everybody saying the same exact text every single day, B'lashon Rabbim, for all of Am Yisrael, That hadn't been done before in history. Rabbi Gamliel, the generation of the destruction of Beis Mikdash, goes to Yahweh and says, we need this. Why do we need this? Why is Rabbi Gamliel the one to be misaken it? Yeah, well, how does it save on Israel?
Is it formalized tradition and it's Nachel
also? I think two different things. Number one, is that you just lost the Beis Mikdash. The Beis Mikdash, the Karban knows, was the main conduit of Avodah. The term Avodah in Chumash, always, this is its original shot, refers to Avodas HaKarbanos. Once you don't have Avodas HaKarbanos anymore as the main conduit of Avodas Hashem, Tefillah becomes a replacement. Tefillah becomes that much more important. We need all Jews to daven twice or three times a day. But see, twice or three times was also an issue during this generation. A second factor is that in addition to being a conduit of Avodas Hashem, what was the Beis Hamikdash? It was a unifying force for Am Yisrael. I mean, historical sources tell us that millions of Jews converged on Yerushalayim. It was a balagan. You saw, imagine the Kotel now during Birkas Kohanim on Chol HaMoed, or just traveling to Chol HaMoed and traveling to Old City of Yerushalayim, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Chol HaMoed Pesach, seeing all your old friends. You know, nobody goes there without seeing somebody they haven't seen in a couple of years. Imagine being Olo the Regel, and the centralizing force, the ma'akid force of all Jews being Olo the Regel, three times a year, and all Jews serving Hashem together in the same place. You don't have that anymore. Jews are going to be dispersed over the entire world. So what does Rabbi Gamliel also have to do? How do you unify Am Yisrael and their Avodas Hashem? Every Jewish person is going to say the same text, Shemona Esrei, every single day.
It allows, exactly. If I'm coming from here and you're coming from there, we can obviously.
Exactly, 100%. 100%. Instead of everybody coming to the Beis Mikdash and serving Hashem there together, wherever you are, you could serve Hashem in a unified way, connecting to the rest of Am Yisrael. Again, we discussed in the Shir of davening the Kibun Yerushalayim, maybe that dafka is to be ma'ach, is to physically show that we're being ma'ach to Am Yisrael, everybody davening in the same direction. But even just saying the same text, it's like Rav Meir Shapiro, when he spoke with Daf Yomi, he spoke about Jews traveling throughout Europe and to North Africa and to Asia, and wherever you go to the Beis Medrash, everybody's learning the same daf. That the Achlus of Am Yisrael that gets created by Daf Yomi, Rabbi Gamliel was the original innovator of that, according to this approach. Again, none of this is explicit in the Mishnayos or in Talmud Bavli. But once you start realizing, according to many Rishonim, Rabbi Gamliel is the innovator of this, it makes perfect sense that this would be the case. And this is a story that a lot of the historians put together. Yeah, Avi.
If Tefillah is based upon Korbanah was very structured and exact and precise, so it makes sense. Tefillah would be very precise and structured.
Right, I guess, obviously adding another point, that if Tefillah is supposed to replace Korbanos, it makes sense it has to be very, very choreographed and detail-oriented and formalized and concretized, but that's not a free-for-all at all. Good. So according to this approach, Rabbi Gamliel is the innovator. Rabbi Eliezer, when he says davening is a free-for-all, davening is more amorphous, it's more malleable, what is he doing? He's maintaining the old tradition. He's like, the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, but we don't have the ability, maybe we shouldn't, it's a bad idea, to start creating a new religion just because the Beis Mikdash is destroyed. Let's continue doing what we were doing. What's fascinating about this? That Professor Yitzhak Gilat, he learned in Kelm, in Europe, and then he came to Israel and became the head of the Talmud department at Bar Ilan. He has a book, Mishnato Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Throughout the book, what does he show? That Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who is Rabbi Eliezer, the Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai, is the ultra-conservative among the Tanaim. He is the one who doesn't innovate. He's the one who says, I'm only going to tell you what I heard from my Rebbeim, and I'm not going to tell you anything more or anything less. He's the one who says, yes, you guys are debating, you guys are arguing about Barcelona, Lachos, Svara, Popo, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. We have Mesorah. The Mesorah is what matters. Let's just see a couple of the sources. There's a whole book about this.
That's what he says. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he himself was the one who also made tikkunos for the Galut.
So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did.
Didn't he, even though it was his Rebbe?
Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was a Shemuti. He also learned from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai. The Gemara says that already.
I even thought going to the Shir that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one who made. He's the one who made about Lula and right. All these other halachos.
Right. As far as I'm aware, there's no Mishnah to Safta that links formal tefillah to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai saves Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel is the one who does all these things. Let's just look at one or two sources. Source number 12, Gemara and Sukkah. Tanur Rabbanan. Ma'isab Rabbi Eliezer Shabbat Begaliel Ha'Elyon Pesukasal Shor Yochanan Rabbi Lai Bekisri Rabbi Lai Bekisarian. So Rabbi Elazar was sitting in a sukkah. It was on sukkah, so it was talking Shabbos. That's the case. V'giyah Chama L'sukkah. All of a sudden, it got hot outside. The sun was shining in. Amar though, so the Talmud asked Rabbi Eliezer, Am I allowed to spread something over the sukkah to create shade on Shabbos? Amar lo. What did Rabbi Elazar respond? Every shevet on the Jewish people had a shofet, a sefer shoftim, emerged from there. He tried to divert the conversation. The sun is beating down on them. Amar lo. Am I allowed to roll a mat over the schach in order to protect us, in order to create shade? Amar lo. Again, he started talking about something totally irrelevant. Finally, the sun is reaching their feet. Yochanan, the Talmud, takes the mat, takes the sheet, and puts it over the top. Rabbi Lazar walks out. So why, the Gemara is like, why did Rabbi Lazar not deal with the topic? Why did he avoid talking about it? Not because this Talmud of Yochanan was like maflik b'tvarim, that he was talking too much, asking him too hard questions. What did Rabbi Lazar do? He never said anything that he didn't hear from his rabbeim. And apparently he didn't hear anything about this halacha. Are you allowed to unroll a mat on top of your sukkah to create tzrach? He didn't want to talk about a topic because he didn't hear about it from his rabbeim. Turn the page in sukkah. Source number 13. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'isab Rabbi Lazar Shavas B'Galil HaOyon. So also, that's where he lived, in the Galil HaOyon, I guess. Maybe. Shalu Shalushim Halakos Bilchos Sukkah. And they asked him 30 halakos Bilchos Sukkah. 12 amar lahem shamati. 12 of them he said, I heard. 18 amar lahem lo shamati. 18 he said, I didn't hear. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah amar chila b'tavarim, 18 amar lahem shamati, 12 amar lahem shalom lo shamati. 18 I heard, 12 I didn't hear. Amar lo, his Talmidim said to him, kol devracha inan elam pi ha-shmua, like, granted you didn't hear, but make something up, innovate, you're a rav, be machadish something, say something. Amar lahem, hiskekasuni lomar davar shalom shamati mipi rabosai. You want to force me to say something I didn't hear from my rabbeim? Miyamai lo kidmani adam vismedrash, li shanti vismedrash, shloshin eskavash, and eserai, vunchanti adam vismedrash, yazasi, vzati sikaskulin, all these hanagos of Rabbi Lazar, the last one, vlo amarti davar shlo shamatin hi rabbi li olam. I only say things I heard from my rabbeim. And this is you go through Shas, if you're not attuned to trying to figure out what is Rabbi Eliezer's Gisha to halacha in general, you're not going to be aware of this, but Rabbi Elazar consistently, at least maybe almost consistently, has this approach. He always quotes his rabbeim. He does not engage in the same pilpul, svara, argumentation, drashos, as to the same extent as his chavirim in Yavne. Just one more source. Look at source number 14. Again, the ins and outs of this we're not going to say, just the last line. In the times of the Tanayim, there was a major issue about Ammon and Moab. Jews living in the lands of Ammon and Moab, to the east and south of Eretz Israel, they didn't keep Shemitah there, so they had to be Mafresh Trumas and Maaser Osmid Rabbanan, even during the Shemitah year. What Maaser were they Mafresh? Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni. This Machlokas is in the Mishnah Yosin Yadayim, Tosafos Yosin Yadayim, the Gemara in Chagiga, the Gemara in Yavamos, it's all over the place. And the Tanayim debated back and forth. There's this Svara and that Svara, this Svara and that Svara. Look at the fourth to last line, like two lines above the underline, the middle of the line, Uchasheba Rabbi Yossi ben Dormiskis eats Rabbi Lazar b'lud. So Rabbi Yossi ben Dormiskis goes to Rabbi Lazar b'lud. Amar lo, Machida shalachan b'is medrash hayom. Rabbi Lazar is like, what did you guys talk about in the b'is medrash today? Amar lo, so Rabbi Yossi says, Nimnu v'gamru, we had a vote, and we decided, Amun amoav ma'aser meiser ani b'shvias. So we paskened, there's a huge debate, we paskened that they have to be mafresh meiser ani during the Shemitah year. Bacha Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer cries, Amar, Sod Hashem L'Reyav, Uvriso the Hodiyam. Sod Hashem L'Reyav. The Yirei Hashem, no Hashem secrets. Save Amar Lahem, go tell them, Al Tachushu L'Minyanachem. You shouldn't care about your votes, about your debates, about your votes. Mekubal Ani B'Rabin Yochanan Mazakai, Shashama Mirabo, V'Rabo Mirabo, Ad Halakal Moshe Misinai, Sh'amun Amoav Ma'asin Meister Ani B'Shvius. You debated it. You had argumentations back and forth, back and forth, back and forth of your full generation. And you passed in a certain way. Just know your psak, your debates don't matter. You got it right in the end, but your debates don't matter. Why do your debates not matter? Because I have a mesorah that this is the halacha. So clearly there's some tension over here. Everybody in the base matter is just sitting and pulling back and forth, svara argumentation, chiddush, not chiddush, whatever it is. Rav Elazar is like, al tachusha the minyanka. You got it right in the end of the day. But it doesn't matter. Your vote is irrelevant because what you're saying really just was the Masorah. I think it's irrelevant a little bit because what else do we know? Maybe, perhaps. What else do we know about Rabbi Eliezer? In the Tanur Shel Achnai Sugya, who was the one who's put in Chirim by his Chavirim? Rabbi Eliezer. And what is the debate? There was the Machlokas about whether a certain oven is Tamei or Tar. And what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Nisim should happen. A Baskel should say that a Baskel is going to Paskel like me. And what does Rabbi Yeshua, his Chaver, who's also in Yavda together with him, what does he say? Lo b'shamayimi. It's up to us. We're the ones who decide halakha. We're the ones who get to argue. So again, how much of that story is literal or figurative? The Baal is a version, the Rishami is a version. The fact that Rabbi Lazar got into a big fight with the other Tanayim and he put him in Chirim has Tanaitic sources to it. The exact, you know, different layers of the debate, what happened, this miracle, that is debatable. The fact he was put in Chirim by the other Tanayim is certainly there. So again, nobody says he was put in Chirim because he had a different approach to the entirety of Halacha. And that's hard to halakha argumentation, and he wasn't in line with everybody else, and he was stubborn, he didn't back down, he didn't give in to their vote when it was against him. But again, if you're putting things together step by step by step, this is what Professor Yitzchak Gilad does. What do you see? Rabbi Lazar, his Mesorah was that halakha is traditional, conservative, lowercase a. Whatever our rabbis or rabbeim did, we should do. Whatever we see from our rabbeim, we should say over. All this pilpul and all this chiddush, all these innovations, maybe it's creating a new religion. It's not for us. And that might be reflected. Again, all of this is speculative, but it fits so nicely. That could be reflected in the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar. What does Rabbi Gamliel say? 18 brachos every day. Every Jew should be davening the same Shemoneh Esrei every single day, three times a day. According to some Rishonim, that is a major innovation. And what does Rabbi Lazar say, at least according to Talmud Yerushalmi? No. Continue the Masorah. It's a free-for-all, amorphous. Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. The world is totally different. It doesn't matter. We have our Masorah. That's what we have to continue. Who won in the end of the day? I'm going to be on. Yeah, Isaac, I'm sorry.
Back to the Meister Ani in social reporting. I think it's so ironic. I think it's so appropriate that Rabbi Lazar uses the term halacha losh misinai.
Yes, even though it's a dindur rabbanan. Yeah, that's a major, yes, it's a major issue. All the Rishonim already asked, how could it be halacha losh misinai if it's all we're talking about dindur rabbanan? So he's building up the notion of Masorah. Whatever dindur abundance we have, that's what we have, that's what we keep. Also, the question, mach kiddush b'beis medrash shayom. So again, if you want to read it in a very, very tzmimistic way, you're just saying, in beis medrash b'lo chiddush, the Marko Gigo says, and therefore, what chiddush happened today? If you're reading it like this, if you're a historian reading it, you sense some irony. Oh, what chiddush do you guys have today in the Beis Medrash? What did you guys come up with today? What new innovation do you have today? And Rabbi Lazar he had an approach to halacha, and again, it's a broader sugya, but shitos Rabbi Lazar often reflect things that we have in Bayit Sheni from various groups, so Rabbi Lazar might have been trying to hold the line in a certain Masorah of halacha. And he was just at a place in Yavne where there was obviously a lot of tradition. Rabbi Gamliel was a firm person. I'm not saying Rabbi Gamliel was a reform rabbi. He was a very firm person. But he felt like certain innovations had to happen, had to be a certain amount of drashos and pilpul and the rabbanans in order to keep Judaism alive in the next time period. And Rabbi Lazar was the conservative, and he didn't fit in. Yeah.
I don't remember Dr. Tzaidi spoke about this Shabbos a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And he spoke about how there's this medrash that talks about Shemachat Gershom Shemachat Eliezer. So there's a medrash that ties into that with Moshe's sons, that even Hashem had in Shemayim, I think it's a Zohar or whatever, that Eliezer was like Hashem's favorite rabbi, Kilu, in Shemayim. And even Shammai is really right.
That's a level.
And he goes in this whole thing. It's really, really nice that he gave. And at the end of the day, they're like, you know, but it doesn't matter. Because like Emes was, Halakh was given to us, and like right. We decide. It's not up to Hashem almost to decide that, you know, and that just makes sense.
Rabbi Ben Achmeni. This is Drasha Saran, the two Makoros are always Tan Shachnai and Rabbi Ben Achmeni with Saras. Yeah, Rabbi Yarn.
I don't want to digress too much, but this reminds me of the Chovas about Mar being Rashut
Rechovas. Ah, good. Next source. Yeah. Fantastic. You're my father. So again, all this is speculative, but this is what my I guess I would say my official training is in academic Talmud studies under the tutelage of Dr. Professor Elman Alav Shalom, and also Rabbi Dr. Hittery, people might hear him or know him. Yibad al-Chaim. So this is what they try to do. It's everything you're going to do is speculative, because you're not going to find the actual reasons and historical accounts in the Gemara in Chazal. But once you are looking for it, sometimes it's more attractive, sometimes less attractive, sometimes it fits better, sometimes it fits worse. It doesn't fit as well. You have to know yourself and know the sources to see when you're trying to superimpose the historical narrative on the sources. But over here, I think it works out so well, and it creates a certain meaning and texture to what was going on at the time. It's not just an abstract machlokes. It's this one esrei. Is it formalized or concretized or is it amorphous? It's not just a machlokes in philosophy. What's the best way to daven? It was actually a real life historical machlokes, which all of us could understand. What's more important? Preserving the Mesorah, on the one hand, of being amorphous, making sure your tefillah is tachanunim, having some type of spontaneity, or on the other hand, having something more formalized, more concretized, to make tefillah an institution so it carries the Jewish people in this post-Beis Hamikdash era. That is something which I think we could all relate to, and there are parallels, I think, in our lives today. There's so many parallels there. Right. Again, nothing is an exact parallel, but it becomes much more real, much more real life. But another underlying issue over here might be another valence, perhaps, is Rabbi Gamliel's role in centralizing halacha. Because what else do we know about Rabbi Gamliel? And even outside of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer and Hyrcanus was put into chirim. And according to Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Gamliel was punished for embarrassing Rabbi Lezer by putting him into chirim. When Rabbi Lezer started crying, Rabbi Gamliel himself was punished. But we also know that Rabbi Gamliel got into arguments with his own chavra, with Rabbi Yeshua. He publicly embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua multiple times. About what issues? Look at source number 16. Issue number one is Tefilas Arvus Rishas, about the institution of daily tefillah. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa B'Talmud Achad, Shabbat Lefnei Rabbi Yeshua. Amrlo, Tefilas Arvus Rishas Ahova. Right? It makes a lot of sense. You have carbon Tamash Shalakras, carbon Tamash Shalabin Arbayim. Nothing's happening to be a Mikdash at night, except for the burning of the fats, is Tefilas Arvus Rishas Ahova. So you have that annoying Talmud that keeps on going from rabbi to rabbi and creating machlokas, you know, asking everybody what they think and then pointing out to each other that there's a machlokas. Let's wait until the shield bearer is a Talmud Chacham into the Beis Medrash. The Talmud asks in front of everybody. And then there's silence. Rabbi Gamliel looks at everybody and says, does everybody think it's Chova, or does somebody here think it's Rishus? And he calls on Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, I don't disagree with you. And Rabbi Gamliel says, but I heard from your Talmud that you say it's Rishus. And he makes Rabbi Yeshua remain standing throughout the shir. And what happens in the Beis Medrash? There's a mutiny. They depose Rabbi Gamliel. Because this wasn't the first time it happened. So verse number 17, there's another machlokas about the calendar. Now, whether or not you should accept two edim to be made about Rosh Chodesh, Rabbi Yeshua said these edim are psulin, and if Rosh Chodesh is the next day, Rabbi Gamliel accepted the edim. And what did Rabbi Gamliel make Rabbi Yeshua do? Come on Yom Kippur, and on his Yom Kippur, on the 11th, what was February else, the 11th, with his walking stick and money pouch. So clearly, these two institutions, the calendar and the structure of daily tefillah, these are very important institutions if you want to create Achlas and Am Yisrael. What was Rabbi Gamliel trying to do, if you're thinking about it a little bit historically? What did he feel like was necessary to do? He had to have a central authority in halacha. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Sanhedrin is now in Galus. They moved to some beach town in Yavna as opposed to being in Yerushalayim, the capital city. You need to have a central, you need a show that we have new institutions, we have a way of being ma'achid Am Yisrael under a central authority of halacha, which is going to keep Am Yisrael going with Dori Doros without a Beis Hamikdash. And to do that, Rabbi Gamliel sort of had to be firm. Thank you for saying that. And the Talmidim thought after two or three times about, and he dafka did it about these two institutions, there's a third case about Bechor, but these two institutions, the calendar and tefillah, are super important in terms of being ma'achid Am Yisrael and having a central halachic authority. The Talmidim, the Beis Medrash thought he overstepped, and therefore they deposed him. And they made Rabbi Gamliel apologize to Rabbi Yeshua, and then they reimposed him together with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah so that there could be some balance. So this notion that Rabbi Gamliel is the figure, the Tana that says 18 brachos every day, again, according to the Rambam, He is Rabbi Gamliel is just telling you what the Amshei Gass Gadol already did. But according to the Rabbi Yaakov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to these other approaches, Rabbi Gamliel is the innovator. And if you think about this from a historical perspective, Rabbi Lazar's shita is dafka more conservative, that it's tefillah chadasha b'chol yom, and this fits in with what Rabbi Lazar is usually doing in terms of saying Masha Shemati Merabosai is what we do. We don't innovate pilpul drushos, things like that, and not necessarily should be at the forefront of our minds when we're thinking about passing Shavuos. And the notion that Rabbi Gamliel is the one that says 18 brachos in every day, and there was a public dispute in the Beis Medrash about how authoritative Rabbi Gamliel's shita about tefillah in terms of Marib is going to be. And Rabbi Gamliel did this several times over about other important halakhic institutions. He wanted to centralize halakhic authority under his Sanhedrin. And the Talmidim thought at some point he overstepped the boundaries and he had to push back a little bit. That makes a lot of sense historically if we think about what was going on during that time period and what Rabbi Gamliel was trying to do within the context of his own time.
On the flip side, I think it's Rabbi Gamliel talks about this time the korbanos for your led desk cost a lot of money, and I think it's just that in one korban you must see several speakers.
I think that might have been early Rabbi Gamliel.
During
the time of life. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, then, yeah.
But it could be. I'm not sure. Anyway, so this is a little bit of less lumdus, more history. But hopefully, it gives a little bit of texture and meaning to some of the topics we were discussing. What tefillah was like in this first generation after the Beis Hamikdash, when they're trying to figure out what is halakha Judaism going to look like, and now in this new time period when unfortunately we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. Mirz Hashem, it's Adar, which is Sinisim. The Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt in your Meher Min Ramin.
Thank you.